You may be seated. Coming up on 40 years ago, on the day after Christmas, I asked Teresa to marry me. Now, I was only 10 at the time, but I can't believe it was 40 years ago coming up here. Just amazing. But yes, she said yes, and I gave her a ring. We were excited, and we wanted to tell everybody about it. She wasn't ashamed that we were engaged. She wasn't ashamed that we were going to be married. I wasn't ashamed to call her my wife. And even now, I'm not ashamed to say Teresa is my wife. You know, when you receive a gift that means a lot to you, you're excited about that. You want to tell everybody about it. Over the past several weeks, we've been talking about our theme, A Weary World Rejoices. And I focused a lot on the weariness. Today, I want to focus on the rejoicing. In fact, our take-home thought this morning is, weary or not, there is joy in telling others about Jesus. I appreciated what James had to say. You know, there are times when we just kind of get burdened down. It may be the season. It may be the experience of the day. We get burdened and we may become weary. But weary or not, there's joy in Jesus and there's joy in telling others about Him. Telling others about Jesus helps put your heart where it ought to be. It helps you focus on what you need to focus upon. And that can lead your heart to rejoicing. Talking to others about Jesus can be a reminder to yourself. Where's your focus? And as you focus upon Him, it might very well invigorate you and help you to overcome that weariness. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 20. Studying about the shepherds and the importance of telling others about Jesus. Luke chapter 2. Let's learn together, beginning with verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know, when you're weighed down with fear, your focus tends to be on self. However, overcoming fear results in freedom. Freedom to worship God and freedom to tell others about Him. You know, why don't we tell others about Jesus more faithfully? You know, we need to have that freedom to do that. We're excited about Jesus, our relationship with Him. What keeps us from doing that? Well, fear oftentimes does that. We're afraid. And persistent fear or even worry can lead to weariness. If it just continues, it can weigh us down. And we look at the shepherds. We notice that they were fearful. Now, we're not saying that they were in persistent fear, but nonetheless, they were fearful. Look at verse 8. Shepherds were out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not." Now that fear could have caused them to shelter in place. And yet they overcame their fear. Look at verse 15. The angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They told others. They proclaimed the coming of the gift of Jesus, their Messiah, the Savior of the world. Now that's something to tell others about, weary or not. And note also that others heard what they had to say. Verse 18 there. All who heard it wondered. Like, this is amazing. Really? You've got to be kidding. You could just imagine the response that the people who heard what they told them said about this. So we want to look at the shepherds. We want to see what you can learn about telling others about Jesus, witnessing your faith. You know, what did they tell others about? And in doing that, how can that turn your weariness into rejoicing? Well, the shepherds spread the word concerning that which they saw. Is that what they did? They saw a lot. They were eyewitnesses of an angel. Look, verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. It's not every day that that happens, right? You know, in fact, you know, it had been years since God had even spoken to his people. And here these lowly shepherds are out in the field, and the angel of the Lord appears to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. So there's this angel that comes to them. And then there was a bazillion of them. I don't know. There's a multitude of angels that came. And they start saying, "Glory to God in the highest," right? So is that what they told everybody about? I mean, that was pretty spectacular. Well, they experienced this. They saw this. And they went with haste, verse 16. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. Did they spread the word about seeing the angel and the angels and Mary and Joseph and the baby in a manger? Is that what they spread the word about? Well, no, that's not what they spread the word about. Did they spread the word concerning what they experienced? I mean, we were out laying in the field, and man, the brilliance of God was there, and the angels, you know, oh man, is that what they told everybody about? The experiencing of fear and amazement? That's not what the text says that they told everybody about. Look at verse 17. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. When we give a testimony of our experiences, we tend to focus on the experience and what we saw and what happened to us. But what they did is they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They made known, and they told others what they had been told about Jesus. So we want to look at some points of encouragement to help us with this. And the first one, they were told, fear not. All right? We're talking about when you tell others, when you witness to others. I don't know about you, but I get nervous. I get concerned. I get kind of like, oh, here's an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. You know, you tend to get apprehensive. What are they going to say? What are they going to think? And the angel here says, fear not. Now, we're not talking about a startling fear. Like when someone comes up behind you, you know, slaps their hands. Once in a while, the office will be real quiet, and I'll walk into the office with the ladies, and I'll wake up, you know, and oh, you know, and not that they're sleeping, but, you know, just, and, you know, it startles them. That's not the kind of fear that we have here. In fact, in the NIV, New International Version, the word terrified is used. That's a good translation. They were not only fearful, but they were mega fearful. They were afraid in a big way. And I realize that the context is when an angel appeared to them at night and the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of the Lord was evident. It would be one thing to see what you might surmise as an angel, but it's interesting that the text says, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They realized God was there. And as we even step into this here this morning to realize God is here, I think of Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 6. When in his vision, he was standing in the very presence of God, the throne room of God. And how did he respond? You know, you hear some people who say that they died and went to heaven. They give these testimonies and they're telling about all of this stuff. I'm here to tell you that whenever there is a vision or an example of this, when someone was in the presence of God, they fell on their face before him. Isaiah said, woe unto me, I am undone, I am a man of unclean lips. It is no surprise that when they saw this angel and the glory of the Lord shone around them, that they were mega fearful, and rightly so, because they were in the presence of God. This had the shepherds quaking. And the fact of the matter is, fear can cripple. Fear can actually be sin if it keeps you from fulfilling responsibility. To remain fearful would have hindered the shepherds from their communication. You know, you could just kind of see that, you know, they could have said, hey, let's keep this under our turban, man. Who's going to believe us? I mean, you know, we go try to tell everybody, hey, we saw this angel and all of this happened and the Messiah came and all of this. And it's like, yeah, really? Come on, guys, you know. Let's just keep it to ourselves. Nobody's going to believe us. The fear can keep you from fulfilling responsibility. So, but that's not what they did. You must not be afraid of telling others about Jesus. Don't be fearful to the point of neglecting responsibility. Fear can be an energy to motivate. I've heard it put, fear is the greatest threat to your potential. And sometimes we think that fear is a legitimate excuse for neglecting responsibility. Like, oh, I can't do that. I'm afraid. I can't, you know, I'm too scared. And yet, God commands us to overcome a fear that cripples. You know, I used to think, when you talk about what do we replace our fear with, I used to think it was trust. And I will trust and not be afraid. And I think that's part of it. But another thought that helps me is in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. It says, perfect love casts out fear. And so when we have an opportunity to tell others about Jesus, the question might be, do you love them enough to tell them about Jesus? Do you have a love for lost souls to the point that you want to tell them about the greatest message of salvation through Jesus that can ever be given? Do you have a love for lost souls? Love others enough to overcome the fear of being rejected. A friend who was trained in sales told me that to do that which you fear the most and your fears will die a sudden death. You know, I think of a fireman who, I don't know if we have any firefighters in here, but you know, think of a firefighter, and I mean, the house or the building is just, you know, engulfed in flames, and there's someone in there that needs help. And I can't imagine there might be some apprehension or even fear about going in to save that individual. And yet, they go ahead and do it. And because of that, their concern for that individual. And shouldn't that be what we do when it comes to the gospel? Telling others about Jesus? To overcome any fear that we might have because we have the greatest hope for them that could ever be had. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God wants us to fear tends to scramble our thinking, right? But if we realize that God has not given us that fear. He wants us to have power and love. And sound thinking. That comes from God. John 8:32 says, you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, and you will be free indeed. You know, when you have the truth, you can tell others the truth about Jesus. There's freedom to do that, and helps you overcome fear. Fear not! First point of encouragement. Second point of encouragement, good news is worth sharing with others. Good news is worth sharing with others. Verse 10, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. This was something that they weren't to hoard. It was to be shared with all. It was good news for all the people. It's kind of like, remember back, we had, they still have it, but it's different. But several years ago, we had a national night out here in Troy. It was down at Troy City Park, and I don't know how they got it going, but they went around to restaurants and places around town, and they offered free food. I mean, they had booths. they had ice cream and they had pizza and they had corn and what. I mean, it was just like, oh, and you know what? The word got out. And I mean, people came from all over the place. There were thousands of people that came to Troy City Park. And it was fun. It was exciting. But the word got out that there was free food. If you feed them, they will come, I guess. But the idea there was the word got out, and it was attractive. And as we think of the gospel, that's what we need to think about, in the fact that we are just beggars who have found food, and we want other beggars to find the same food, right? We want to say, hey, the food is here, right? The food is here. And we want you to have that too. It was good news, full of joy. It doesn't say this in the text, but I can't imagine that there wasn't a sense of relief that when the angel said, this is for all the people. It's not a secret. It's supposed to be told. You know, sometimes you're told good news and don't tell anybody. I told you a few weeks ago that we found out from our son and daughter-in-law, Chad and Melissa, that they're expecting our next grandchild, their first child, our next grandchild. And they told us back in October, and they swore us to secrecy. Don't tell anybody. So we're going on, you know, it's like we couldn't say a word until after Thanksgiving, right? It's like, man, it was torture. We wanted to tell everybody this good news. Good news should be told. Because this was good news for all. Now, what was the good news? Look at verse 11 and 12. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. These comments were good news in that a Savior had been born. Specifically, this Savior is Christ the Lord. He is the long-awaited Messiah. And the fact that he was born in the city of David was an evidence that this child was, in fact, the promised Messiah. You see, David is significant in that God made a covenant to him. That's a promise. God promised David in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever. That was a promise that God made to David clear back in the Old Testament. The Messiah would be a descendant of David. In fact, in chapter 1 of Luke, an angel tells Mary, he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Oh, okay, this is the guy that was spoken of back there in 2 Samuel when God promised to David that his throne would be established forever. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no more end. Now, verse 4 in our text, chapter 2 here, points out that the city of David is called Bethlehem. That's where David's roots were. When Samuel went to anoint David as king, he was looking at Jesse of Bethlehem and bring all your sons, and David was one of those sons who was anointed king. And so, again, 1 Samuel points out that David was from Bethlehem. Interestingly, in Micah chapter 5, another good Christmas verse, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, but you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Now this verse is significant in that it prophesied the location of where the Messiah would be born. From you shall come forth, from Bethlehem Ephrathah, from you shall come forth for me one who will be ruler of Israel. That's where the ruler, the Messiah, would be born, in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Bethlehem means house of bread. Isn't that interesting? He who is the bread of life was born in the house of bread. I don't know about you, but I got to looking at this and I thought, you know, we hear about Bethlehem Ephrathah, and it's like, well, what's Ephrathah? Well, it's another word for Bethlehem. It's another name of the city. And Ephrathah means fruitfulness. And it's just simply another name for that. It was mentioned back in Genesis chapter 35 as the burial place for Rachel, Ephrath. But it prophesies, this verse, Micah 5:2, prophesies that it would be of the clans of Judah. Bethlehem of the clans of Judah. And it describes, Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, describes it as the city of David. All of this, and some of you have probably gone through this with Eric Sullenberger's class, you know, pointing back to that. But all of this points to the fact that Jesus truly is the Savior. He says in verse 12, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Micah 5:2, mentioning that out of Bethlehem would come this child. Not just any child. In Micah 5, it says that he will be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, of ancient days. This describes the eternal nature of the Messiah. The Messiah wasn't just someone who would be born as a baby and then grow into that position. He was born the Messiah. He is God who became man. And this will be a sign, verse 12, for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. What was the sign? This will be a sign to you. Isaiah 7:14 says that, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. That's what happened. This is the sign for you. The sign, verse 12 sign, is indicated that the virgin of Isaiah 7:14 is the one who gave birth to this child. On this day. The point is that this was the event of the ages about which you ought to get excited and tell others about. The good news that everyone was waiting for is that the Messiah, the Savior, had finally come. We've been looking for the Savior for all these many years, and all the Old Testament and all the Old Testament truths and prophecies all pointed to the coming of this baby born in a manger. That's something to get excited about. So don't hoard the good news. It's something everybody should know about. He is the gift of salvation. He's the good news of great joy that is offered to all. But get excited. Get excited. If you have received the gift of salvation, you ought to get excited about that and say, I want everybody to know. I want to tell others about Jesus and what he did for me. He saved my soul. He wants to save your soul as well if you would just believe. So here's the final point of encouragement, and that is, tell the truth about Jesus. Tell the truth about Jesus. Verse 17, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that has been told them concerning this child. What had they been told about the child? Look at verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. A Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord. That's what we're to tell others. To catch the reality of a Savior, the Messiah, the one who can save a sin-sick, lost for eternity soul and save it to new life for eternity. God can save you if you would believe that he did that for you. Verse 15, the angels went away from them into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Interestingly, that they attributed the message of the angel to the Lord. It was the message of the Lord that the Lord had made known to us. They knew it was from God. My friend, when we have the gospel, understand that the message of the gospel is a message from God that he wants shared with the world. And he's chosen you and me to do that. And they went with haste, verse 16, and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told them. Just think, again, this is the event that the whole Hebrew nation had been looking toward, looking for that long-awaited Messiah. That's what we share with joy and what we share with praise, to tell others that Jesus is the one and only Savior. And he's the only hope for the lost. I think of Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, There's no salvation in anyone else, anything else. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. There's no hope apart from Jesus. And maybe there's someone here today. You've never trusted Christ. You're not certain of salvation through Jesus Christ. You're trying to do things to become better or to earn your salvation. You can't. It's only through Jesus, what he did. Jesus was born as a baby in a manger. God became man, just like you and I, born as babies. He was born as a baby. He grew, but he came here for the express purpose of providing salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. He died on the cross, was buried, and he rose again. You and I deserve death on a cross. We deserve eternal death, separated from God. But God so loved the world that he gave. You can put your name in there. He gave you his one and only son. That if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. My friend, that's good news. That's good news for you. We want to share that with you. We want you to come to Jesus in salvation. But as believers, many of you are. That's just simply how you do it. Or how you do it simply. Tell others about Jesus and the salvation that can be had through him. Interesting in verse 20, that praise resulted from what they heard and saw. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. As a result of what they had been told and what they had heard and seen, they praised God. You know, they just rejoiced. You just see this tribe of shepherds just like, man, you know, this is awesome. Can you believe this? And it was just evident. And I think realizing the significance of these events led the shepherds to praise God. Wow. Just think. God sent his angel to tell us about all of this. And now we're excited about it. We want to tell others. So don't hesitate to tell of salvation that is available to all who believe. Why were the shepherds so excited? It's because they believed it. There was truth. You know, we got excited when Chad and Melissa told us that they're going to have a baby. We got excited because we believed it. We were praying for it, right? And they said, hey, guess what? We're going to have a baby. And we wanted to tell others. If you believe, in fact, ask you this question. How do you gain the courage to tell others? Believe it. Believe these truths. Do you believe them in your heart? Man, this is the truth about God, about life, about sin, about man, and eternity, and how to spend eternity in the presence of God. It's through Jesus and Jesus alone and what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. If you believe that, receive that gift, you too can spend eternity with him. Believe what you've been told and just simply tell others. That's what the shepherds did. They believed what they were told and they just told others. And so you share verses like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. You can put your name right in there, right? God so loved you that he gave his one and only son. That if you would believe in him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. It's by grace that you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one will boast. Yes, we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. The wages of sin is death. We deserve eternal death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And that means whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. We want to help you with that. And I go through that so that if there's anyone here who has not believed, that you might believe. it would come, the invitation is to come to Jesus in salvation. But the challenge is to the many of you who have believed to say, you know what? I can do that. I can do what Pastor just did. I can share these verses with other people. I can tell them the truth about Jesus. And that we carry the greatest news there ever could possibly be, that the Messiah has come, and that Messiah is Jesus. And when we, I'll tell you what, when you share the gospel with others, there's a joy in doing that. How do you gain courage? You believe it. But when you tell others, your weariness may turn to rejoicing. One final passage here, Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7, Jesus is speaking in parable, and he says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost.' Just so, I tell you," Jesus goes on, "there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." My friend, do you believe the gospel? Do you believe the gospel? If you have and you do, are you willing to tell others? Are you willing to share that with others, to tell people of the reason of the hope that is in you and the joy that you have when the weary world around us may be groaning? We, because of the message that we have and want to share with others, can be rejoicing. Won't you make that commitment in your heart to say, during this Christmas holiday season, whether it's family, friends, whether it's the clerk that's having a rough, long, hard, rough day at the cash register, I want to show Christ and share Christ as I have opportunity. Make that commitment in your heart today. Father, thank you for these truths here today. Thank you that as we believe these truths, that it can turn us from weariness to rejoicing as we then share them with others. I pray that we would commit in our hearts to do just that, with heads bowed and eyes closed. As I said a few moments ago, if you've never trusted Christ, we want to help you with that. We encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. We have those by the offering receptacle. Thank you for your faithful giving, by the way. What a blessing. But we have a connection card. And as you can fill them out there. You can fill it out through our website, through YouVersion, through our digital bulletin. And if you've never trusted Christ and you have questions about salvation through Jesus, check for Pastors Only and say, "I want to get saved." As we have many who have trusted Christ here today, you might make a commitment. Say, "I'm praying that God will bring people into my life to share the gospel, the good news of salvation this holiday season, this Christmas."